This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, Congress isn't buying the president's claim that there isn't a smidgen of corruption within the IRS. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady tells us why. And is the White House pushing the Federal Communications Commission to send researchers into newsrooms to collect information? What kind of information and for what purpose? FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai joins me with the details. And this week, social media exploded from an opinion piece in the USA Today written by Kirsten Powers. Now, Kirsten has been great in speaking out on the life issue. In fact, she was one of the first ones to jump on the abortionist Kermit Gosnell, and I give her credit for that. But I disagree with her on her latest piece. When you're a follower of Christ, he goes everywhere with you, and that includes the workplace. Now, I rarely do this, but I thought I would take some time during the show on Wednesday to give you my own personal thoughts on this USA Today opinion piece and push back on some of her arguments that, quite frankly, don't match up to biblical truth. She was writing today about a piece of legislation in Kansas. And I'm just going to quote from her op-ed piece. Now, she describes as let me just read from it. What's the matter with Kansas? A bill protecting the religious freedom of businesses and individuals to refuse services to same-sex couples passed the House of Representatives last week. It was blessedly killed in the state Senate on Tuesday. Similar bills have cropped up in a half dozen states in an effort to protect anti-gay religious believers. Now, I really have to take issue with that. I mean, obviously, you see a slanted view here. People who are simply trying to live their lives unmolested by a corrupt culture are called anti-gay. She calls them anti-gay. To protect these anti-gay religious believers against lawsuits, a florist in Washington State, a Colorado baker, and a New Mexico photographer have been sued for refusing to serve gay couples getting married. They say to do so would be to celebrate nuptials at odds with their Christian faith. Now, continuing. It's probably news to most married people that their florist and caterer were celebrating their wedding union. Most people think they just hired a vendor to provide a service. It's not clear why some Christian vendors are so confused about their role here. Now, I got to take issue with this, and I'm walking through this. Generally, I don't comment on what some Christians put out there, but this is so flawed, and it has to be addressed. And I'm not addressing my comment so much to Kirsten as I am to those of you listening so that you'll know how to respond to this flawed theology. Now, I've actually talked to some of these vendors, and they're not confused at all. They realize that their faith in Christ extends beyond the doors of their church. See, they refuse to buy into the president's truncated view of religious freedom or the popular culture that somehow, you know, that our faith is only valid on Sunday mornings. They understand that the same faith that leads a follower of Christ to contribute their time or their money to help the homeless, the orphaned, or the widow is the same faith that carries us into the marketplace to use our gifts and talents for the Lord. It is really an issue of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's really what this boils down to. Jesus isn't just Lord of Sunday school or the 11 a.m. worship service. He is the Lord of all. Dutch politician, journalist, statesman, and theologian Abraham Kuyper famously said, quote, "Oh, no single piece of our mental world is to be hermetically sealed off from the rest. And there's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine." Now, that is backed up by Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do," and that would include wedding cakes, photography, "do all to the glory of God." There is no question that that includes your work. Now, let me continue on with what she said. "Whether Christians have the legal right to discriminate should be a moot point because Christianity doesn't prohibit serving a gay couple getting married. Jesus calls his followers to be servants to all, nor does the Bible call service to another an affirmation." All right, stopping. This is my comments. Facilitating what has been called holy matrimony is not just service. Do you think Jesus would have turned the water into wine at a same-sex wedding? Now, you say, well, don't make light of it. I am not making light of it, because if you follow the logic of what she is saying and what some prominent evangelical pastors are saying, you would have to say yes. Would he have made up the bed for a prostitute to engage in her activity? Preparing a wedding cake is different than making cupcakes for a birthday party and should be treated differently. However, how do you do that? It becomes extremely difficult when we as a society sanction what God has called sin. When we come back, Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas tells us why Congress isn't buying the president's line that there isn't a smidgen of corruption in the IRS. Don't go away. We're coming back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
Forty-one years ago, the Supreme Court gave a woman the right to abort her unborn baby, at any stage, for any reason. Since then, we've lost 56 million little lives. But FRC and our pro-life allies are fighting this injustice. We've been working with Congress, supporting abortion alternatives, and publishing many educational resources. We mourn the loss of life, but we also offer hope and truth. To learn more, visit frc.org/pro-life.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, and you can sign up for my daily update. It comes to you free Monday through Friday, right there in your inbox, and keeps you updated on things as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, President Obama believes there's not even a smidgen of corruption within the IRS, but that doesn't mean members of Congress take that as fact. On February the 11th, the House Ways and Means Committee held a hearing on the Stop Targeting of Political Beliefs by the IRS Act of 2014 in an effort to not only find out what the IRS was up to, but to make sure that all groups are protected from inappropriate IRS scrutiny. Congressman Kevin Brady of the 8th Congressional District of Texas, a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, joined me on Wednesday. Let me play a clip of something you said during this hearing that took place, and I want to get you to follow up on that. So take a listen to this.
Make no mistake, this is the government seeking to silence the voices of those who disagree with them. The only difference is the weapon of choice this time is the IRS, the one agency that has the power to destroy your family and your business. These rules were not created out of confusion. They were created, again, to lower government power onto average Americans who simply have a disagreement about which way this country should go.
The president's using the IRS for political purposes, is he not?
Yeah, he absolutely is. And you were an early leader in the charge that, look, when the government tries to silence people, target them based on their political beliefs, that they have so much power that it has to be reined in. And these new rules are just an extension of the last 2.5 years of targeting of conservative, pro-life, Tea Party groups in America.
Well, what's the latest? After you had this hearing, you got this additional information, there's a measure out there. Where do we stand today in terms of the IRS, or let me say this, the administration using the IRS for political purposes, for silencing conservative groups? Where do we stand?
Yeah, there's two main things going on. One, specifically, the Ways and Means Committee passed the legislation to stop the targeting by the IRS. This will come to a House vote next week. We expect a very strong vote in the House, certainly among us Republicans. It's going to face a challenge, obviously, in the Senate. But I think, too, we've given a lot of ammunition to those who are trying to stop the IRS. Because the second point is our investigation. We've now examined over 450,000 documents from the IRS, interviewed over 50 key persons of interest. And in this specific rule case, what we revealed were emails that said from the IRS that they were developing these rules offline. That means away from the eyes of the public in order to bring it to the onto the American public without them knowing it was coming. That should, that alone, that secrecy in developing these rules should tell you there is a political reason for hiding these rules, not certainly clarification of anything within the IRS.
Congressman Brady, let me jump back to the other issue of the corruption with the IRS. Was the president? And I guess I'm asking you to get inside his head, but I mean, was he really being truthful when he said there wasn't a smidgen of corruption at the IRS?
No, absolutely not. In fact, in the same interview, you know, he contended that, again, this was a few rogue agents in Cincinnati. But our interviews of the first three IRS employees that we conducted showed that this began clearly in Washington, both in Lois Lerner's office with the direct intervention of the general counsel of the IRS. So, no, he's not being truthful. We believe that there are is not only targeting and intimidation of conservative groups, leaking private taxpayer information to the media, to other campaigns, and then concealing all this from the American public for more than 2 years. So I would say the description is we're closer to a 50-gallon barrel of corruption within the IRS rather than a smidgen.
Well, the last case you mentioned about the leaking of confidential taxpayer information, where I know your committee took testimony on this, and there were documents in pertaining to one organization that I'm intimately familiar with, the National Organization for Marriage, in which the documents were released to embarrass Mitt Romney or to expose Mitt Romney to political harassment to a political opponent of NOM, the Human Rights Campaign, and it even had they were able to recreate the stamp, the seal from the IRS on the document. That clearly was a violation of law. It's a felony, and the president knew that.
He does, and the IRS does as well. And in our investigation, what we're trying to do is follow the evidence to the truth. And we think, well, we've already shown that this did not wasn't limited to Cincinnati, that the targeting was much broader than originally thought. We now believe the IRS conducted surveillance of Tea Party and conservative organizations. And we now believe these rules were designed in a way to intimidate, for example, in our state, organizations like Texas Right to Life, the Homeschool Coalition, including a key Tea Party, King Street Patriots, and True the Vote. And so the point is, I guess, the reason you continue to focus on this is government in the most abusive position, using its power over just average Americans who want to have a say.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. My guest right now, Congressman Kevin Brady. He represents the 8th Congressional District of the Lone Star State. We're talking about the IRS, their corruption, and also new rules that they're proposing that would severely restrict the activities of C4, nonprofit organizations like one of our sister organizations, FRC Action, which does voter education, voter registration, all about engaging people in the elections. And I'm really hard-pressed, Congressman, to understand why the government would not want an informed and engaged citizenry.
Well, the answer is they don't want them informed about any other issue but what the government chooses, which is why the rules were written, really to intimidate these organizations from not entering those holding candidate forums, doing the voter guides that are so important, but at the same time allowing unions and others to run full-scale campaigns in the same political arena. So it really is, as you'd imagine, the government picking winners and losers, with the losers really being the American public.
Congressman, how can our listeners help at this point?
Two things. One, continue to push every member of Congress, a Republican, Democrat, Liberal, Tea Party, frankly, no government, no White House should ever have this much power to silence voices of the American public. So support for the Stop the IRS Targeting Act, I think, is critical. Secondly, continuing to support the joint investigation that Ways and Means Committee Oversight is conducting, because I think, you know, some have suggested a select committee. Of course, Harry Reid would appoint half of those. Some have suggested a special prosecutor. In that case, Eric Holder appoints who does that. I really think we get to the truth if we allow this joint congressional investigation to continue.
All right, Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate you joining us and sharing your insights on what I think is one of the most important issues facing us, and that is the ability to freely engage in our political process and in business without being harassed by our own government.
Tony, thanks for your leadership. I appreciate it.
That was Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, represents the 8th Congressional District. To find out more about Congressman Brady, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over to his site. All right, when we come back, FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai joins us to talk about what the FCC may be up to as it pertains to your local newsroom. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
Forty-one years of Roe v. Wade has cost us big time. 56 million babies have died. Their mothers and fathers have suffered. But did you know that legalized abortion also has quantifiable effects? In fact, it's caused our country a loss of between $70 and $135 billion of economic activity every year. You can't put a price tag on life, but abortion costs us. To find out more, visit mary.us/abortion effect.
We are grateful for the men and women who are defending our great country. Many of our soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen have risked their lives so we can remain free. Free to speak our minds, free to associate, free to practice our faith as we see fit. But these same men and women are facing threats to the very freedoms that they're protecting. Many members of our military are motivated by a deep and abiding Christian faith. Their faith is not merely an add-on, but the foundation and motivation for their sacrifice. Some of them are facing pressure to abandon that faith, to hide it away, to minimize its uncomfortable implications, or even deny its restorative and hopeful power. We won't stand for that. We believe that their freedoms are worth protecting. To follow this conversation on Facebook or Twitter, find us at #MilitaryFreedom. That's #MilitaryFreedom.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you, if you get a chance, to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and find out more about today's guest and topics. Well, a story that picked up a lot of steam this past week has many in the news business a bit nervous, and rightfully so. The Federal Communications Commission has proposed an initiative that will place the government right in the newsroom. The agency plans to send researchers into different media outlets to speak with reporters, editors, and station owners to find out their system for the stories they choose to cover. Now, does the FCC plan to dictate to news organizations what they can and can't cover? The Federal Communications Commissioner Ajit Pai joined me on Thursday to tell us where these orders are coming from and why every American needs to know about it. Well, I read your piece. I guess it was last week it came out in the Wall Street Journal. And I read it and I said, wow. And I think in the cacophony of events in this city with all of the different attacks that are going on, I'm not sure this got a lot of attention until just the last couple of days. Give our listeners kind of an overview of what's being proposed here and where it's coming from.
Sure. So what is being proposed is something that is known in shorthand as the CIN study, C-I-N. CIN standing for Critical Information Needs. And in 2013, the FCC, not all of the commissioners, but the leadership of the FCC, proposed to do a study that would survey a variety of newsrooms to figure out how television, radio, and newspaper outlets were covering certain stories. What do they choose to cover? How do they choose to cover it? And in November, a pilot site was chosen for that study as Columbia, South Carolina. And at that point, I started to look at the study design and think about how this would be implemented. And the more I dug into it, the more concerned I got, because as you know, one of the things we prize in this country is that news outlets have the freedom to decide what information they think Americans need to know. And it's simply not the government's place to decide what information is critical and what information is not. And so that's why I published the op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. I've been very heartened, frankly, to see the outpouring of support from across the ideological spectrum, because I think we all agree that the government simply doesn't have a place in the newsroom.
Now, is it correct that this goes back, that the White House has its fingerprints on this?
Well, part of the issue is that we simply don't know. So this proposal was never put to a vote of the commissioners. I was never consulted or asked for my own input. And so, I'm simply dealing with what I have the ability to see publicly. And that's simply the actual study design and the proposal to do the study starting in South Carolina. And there are simply unanswered questions at this point.
So, Commissioner Pye, how does the FCC plan on getting all this information, and what kind of questions do you anticipate them asking in the newsroom, and who will they be talking to?
So the FCC has entered into a contract with a group that created a study design known as the STEN study design. And
right.
What they are proposing to do is send researchers into a variety of newsrooms and ask some basic questions. What types of news stories do you cover? How do you decide to cover them? Are there certain stories that management tells you not to cover? And if so, give us the details about those decisions. In addition, and this is what really I find worrisome, the study proposes 8 categories of what it calls critical information needs, categories of information that they think the American people should have. And those are some of the measuring sticks, if you will, by which they're going to decide whether news outlets are meeting the public interest when it comes to supplying the news. And that's something that I think everyone should agree upon, that government has no role in doing.
And what are those categories?
So they range the gamut. Some of them are called health and welfare, economic opportunities, the environment. And, as these broad categories go, it's not necessarily all that pernicious. But when you think about the government coming in and asking, well, why aren't you doing more studies about this particular aspect of economic opportunities? Or why are you covering the environment in such a slanted way? That's where I think the editorial discretion that we prize in this country might be infringed upon.
So they're determining really what the news priorities are by establishing these categories and making sure that these news outlets are at least they're gathering information to see how often they cover issues that fall into these categories.
Exactly. And even though I should note that the study is supposedly voluntary, if you think about it, if the government comes knocking on your door, or in this case, a researcher representing the interests of the government, it's not going to feel very voluntary to the person who gets this questionnaire. And so that's one of the things I'm really concerned about.
Well, I think we should underscore for folks so they understand how this works. The FCC regulates the license of broadcast television and radio stations. And so it could be voluntary, but I mean, aren't they thinking in the back of their mind, well, what happens if they go back and say, we refuse to participate in this? Will this affect the renewal of our license?
Yes, and that's one of the concerns I have, is that this could well be perceived, and perhaps with good reason, by folks who get requests as a sort of taking a, here's an offer you can't refuse kind of question. And and even on the newspaper side, newspapers in this country don't have to have a license from the FCC, but it's a little bit disturbing when you think about the fact that the FCC has no legal authority to regulate the print media. And so even though the newspapers don't need a license, why is the FCC even asking them about how they decide to choose certain stories and to cover? And that's something that I think really worries a lot of folks in the newspaper business.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I'm joined by Commissioner Ajit Pai with the FCC. Commissioner, how have some of your other commissioners responded to this?
Thus far, I have not had a chance to talk to them about what they think about it, but I'd like to think that they, along with the American public, would agree with my position that the government should really be hesitant about intruding into the newsroom. That's one of the core constitutional freedoms we enjoy in this country, and I hope upon reflection they'll agree with me that the study really should be junked, if not substantially revised.
I mean, I guess I have to wonder, Commissioner, why is the commission there and the commissioners there if they're going to do an in run and just kind of do these things on their own without putting them up for a vote?
And that's part of the reason why I exercised one of the only opportunities I have to raise public awareness about this issue, which is to throw it out to the public. And whether it's over the newspaper, over the radio or on television, I think it's important for the American people to be alerted to the fact that the government is proposing to do this, and that you know, if the American public weighs in, there's a possibility that we could stop the train before it leaves the station. And I'm hopeful that with your help and those of your listeners, we're going to do just that.
Well, that is my next question for you. What can our listeners across the country do to weigh in and have an effect upon this decision?
Well, they certainly can get in touch with me. I pride myself on being as accessible a public servant as I can be. They can email me at ajit.pai@fcc.gov. That's ajit.pai@fcc.gov. I'm very responsive on Twitter, too, @ajitpaifcc. And it doesn't simply go to into the ether. I can tell you that I really internalize what I hear from the public, and I use that to strengthen my own view that we're on the right track here when we say that the government should stay out of the newsroom.
Before I let you go, Commissioner, how long have you been serving now on the FCC Commission?
So I've been on the FCC since May of 2012, and I was nominated in 2011 for a position that will expire in 2016. So I've got another few years to use the bully pulpit such as it is.
Well, let me tell you, Commissioner, I read your piece. It caught my attention right away, and that's why we wanted to have you on the program. And we will encourage folks to go to your Twitter account, follow you on Twitter, and also respond to this to see how they can be helpful to you in this effort to protect the news, the media in this country.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's a good example of what Benjamin Franklin said years ago when someone asked him, what have you done here at the Constitutional Convention? What have you given us? And he said, a republic if you can keep it. And this is a part of keeping it, making sure that the American public knows what we're doing here in the government.
Absolutely. Commissioner Pai, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
That was FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com, and you can follow the links over to Commissioner Pai. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us, and let me again encourage you, check out the resources on our website, and if you have not done so, sign up for my daily update right there at tonyperkins.com. Well, folks, let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, no matter what happens, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.